to Star Wars for the holidays.
Still?
Still. Yes, what started out as an overly ambitious single episode for the 4th of July is now the second part of four stellar episodes for this, our 4th of July celebration.
Oh, yes.
And apologies that we did not mention the 4th of July on the live show, on the July show that launched the series. Just slipped our minds. We were having so much fun. So,
oh, I know. That was a good episode.
So check that out on the DallasOnAir.com archive for the Rancor Pit live. And for the not-so-live Rancor Pit, welcome to the second of four episodes, as we said, for our for the 4th of July and the second of two parts for Star Wars for the holidays.
You know, we could be really bold and do five episodes in July, since it's a 4.5 week month, if we have the gumption to do so.
We're going to call it four. We may surprise you with a fifth one, so stay
right.
Tuned. It depends on how ambitious we get, because as we're recording this, the first one's about to go live on the Jedi Cole Universe website, so If you're listening to this, then you already know that, because this would have been live as well on the site, so... With that awkward introduction,
it's not our most awkward introduction, that's for sure.
No, that is true. There have been far worse.
Right.
Would you like to lead us into the second half of the year as we explore Star Wars and some of our favorite holidays?
Yeah, July, with it being such a major, major American holiday with the 4th of July, we just assumed going into this that there would be a plethora of just like, you know, let's Lucasfilm or Disney, whoever, like, let's exploit the patriotic spirit of July and just like put a mass of red, white, and blue themed Star Wars merchandise. But we weren't giving them enough credit. They did not exploit the holiday.
Even to the point where there aren't even like, you know, bottle rocket shaped like R2-D2 or exploding Death Stars.
Right. There may be some bootlegs. I wouldn't doubt it if there's some bootleg fireworks.
Oh, there's got to be.
Because one of my friends just posted that she was so irritated, she went to go buy her fireworks, and they did a ripoff of one of the video game characters where they slapped all the images of all the different video game characters from the series on a box, and it was obviously bootleg.
It's just regular fireworks.
Right.
And stuff.
Just, and then they marked it up like ridiculous amounts just because they knew kids would want to get that one over the plain Jane
naturally.
One. I did come across a couple of patriotic themed Star Wars shirts, though. The first one I actually saw in person at Target. It was really cool. It was part of like their patriotic display of all these different shirts you could get, and lo and behold, there was a Star Wars shirt hiding in there where it was the Millennium Falcon zipping across the chest. You know, like at an angle, and behind it, it was leaving a red, white, and blue like stripes.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was a pretty cool one, and then it got me thinking. Like, I remember seeing like another patriotic themed shirt, and I remembered seeing this. It was possibly at Kohl's, because this is the type of shirt you normally see at Kohl's, where it was Yoda, like that classic image of Yoda from the prequels, where he's holding his one hand up and lightsaber down, but they cropped it in tighter to just his bust. And they made it a pencil drawing, and they overlaid it with sunglasses, and in the sunglasses is a reflection of the American flag. And it was printed onto a red shirt. So, and again, this was put out during the summertime. So it's scarce, but there are some there's some 4th of July themed Star Wars merchandise out there to be had.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Just not as much as you might expect.
Right.
And, who knows? It could be that they just don't want to, that's a major, very targeted holiday. But I do see that there are a lot of times it's Stormtrooper helmets or Vader helmets.
Yeah.
Festooned with the stars and stripes.
Yeah. Oh, by artists. Are you talking about, like, by artists, like, customized?
Even some commercially available stuff from the looks of it. But for the most part, you might see like a red, white, and blue Star Wars logo here and there. But, nothing with like, Yoda lighting a Roman candle with his lightsaber. Or better still, a Roman candle or a lightsaber shaped Roman candle.
My offering, if I were ever to get hired by whoever was licensing Star Wars to make T-shirts, my idea would be that classic image of the drummer, one person holding a flag and the other person holding playing a flute. Replacing them with Gungans, you know, because to reflect the end of Episode One where they had that big parade, you know.
Oh yeah.
That would be my choice. Well,
people would get offended that they chose Gungans
right
for such an iconic image. It's like, what's next? Ewoks planting the flag at Iwo Jima?
I would go for that. I can imagine that on an indoor setting, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Like, you know, planting a rebel flag into a stormtrooper.
Yeah. You had a great idea, though. It's not anything that was commercially licensed, but a great way to celebrate the July 4th if you wanted to do it in Star Wars style. What was that, Cole?
Well, I think that, you know, I've actually seen some evidence in years past of this when I was looking around, but where you will have in major cities that have an orchestra, will set their... oftentimes just to, you know, celebrate the 4th of July with the movies or something like that. But certainly Star Wars is prominent among featured selections of Philharmonics, you know, plying their trade during the fireworks display. And, you know, can you imagine how striking it would be to have, like, the Imperial March or,
I know.
Or the Star Wars theme or some of these others or to set a fireworks display to Duel of the Fates.
I would go for Duel of the Fates over anything else set to fireworks.
That would work one of the best. And then, of course, you could just have a little smattering of fireworks with the by having like a choral group come out and do the Ewok celebration song.
out of anything in Star Wars, that would lend itself to July 4th. Would that be that scene from the end of Return of the Jedi?
I remember actually seeing Return of the Jedi and one of my friends complaining how stupid it was to have fireworks. It's like, why is that stupid? They've got everything we've got plus.
I know.
You have no problem with blue milk, but the fireworks are pissing you off?
They even had hot cocoa, according to Lando.
Oh, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. That's like Andy bringing up bone claws or something. There's some things I just can't abide, like 3PO with Jawas.
Oh, my gosh. But, no, you had another idea about carving a certain thing.
Oh, that's true. I'd seen some imagery that made me kind of think that, as we go through the year, you can get a little bit of a jump on Halloween, not just necessarily for the 4th of July, but we are talking about holidays, but all summer long. I've seen the imagery of people pumpkin carving is synonymous with October, but some really ambitious people will carve into watermelons.
Yeah.
Because if you're very careful, you can, like, you know, just get through the rind right down to the the delicious watermelon inside, and and that gives you that nice contrast. And I've seen a watermelon Death Star, among other things, which I thought was really clever. If you get just that perfectly round little small watermelon, or a particularly oblong Death Star.
Oblong.
If you happen to, you know.
The prototype Death Star that they worked on.
That's right. It's more capsule-shaped.
Yeah. They thought it would zoom through space a little easier that way, and it just caused all sorts of problems.
Yeah, they were just – it was just better as a sphere.
Yeah.
That's no – I'm not even sure what that is, but it's not what you would think it is. It's a space station.
Yeah. And we were kind of like racking our heads after we did the first – episode to this particular series, there's not really a whole lot to draw on from August and September, but I managed to this is a stretch, but I'm gonna take the September choice is something a little bit more holiday related. August is an obvious stretch because we just want to include every month and not feel let August feel left out.
It's kind of appropriate because you have those dead years in Star Wars between the original trilogy and the prequels. So metaphorically, it becomes an analog.
Well, for August, I'm going to propose this was less a holiday and more of like a tradition.
Stretch,
I
stretch.
know. Of getting your school supplies for the new school year, and it was always in
Oh, no, that's
August.
good. I'll allow that.
And in particular, if you were lucky enough, if it was the right year, and you were lucky enough to find one on the shelves, getting the Star Wars lunchbox.
Oh, yes.
It seemed like lunchboxes, as durable as they made, most kids usually, not me, but a lot of kids usually got a new one every single school year.
Oh, yeah, I think for some it was almost traditional to just beat the daylights out of the thing on last day of school in
I
hopes of getting
know.
a new one.
Yeah.
I actually had the very first Star Wars lunchbox. And, at 12, you got to really be pushing in a small town to carry a Star Wars lunchbox. But the very first one, the edge, the lids had graphics that were embossed in the traditional way of lunchboxes back then. For you children, they used to be made out of metal. And they got really cheap because the surround was just a star field. They would later re-release the second release of the lunchbox would be identical, except that the surround, the body of the lunchbox would actually have some graphics on it as well, which was traditional. If you were going to get a licensed lunchbox like Arnold Horshack's Planet of the Apes lunchbox, there were graphics around the entire thing.
Right, exactly. I mean,
You
even
got those great
Starsky and
graphics on.
Hutch even got graphics all the way around.
Exactly. Where else were you going to get to have your lunch with Huggy Bear?
Yeah, right, exactly. I had the Jedi one, which is still my favorite of any lunchbox, because that image of Luke drawing his blaster with all the creatures behind him, I think we've talked about before on the show.
That is the only one of the originals I don't have. I did manage to score a replacements, really nice Star Wars and Empire lunchboxes, but the Jedi one is one that still eludes me.
And it was during that Empire's when it kicked off the era where some offerings, lunchboxes were being offered as metal and plastic. Because there were Empire lunchboxes that were the traditional plastic lunchboxes with the big decals slapped on the front.
Yeah, and that became sort of like the cheap out for lunchbox manufacturers when they went heavily into plastic, because you could use the same, granted they were using the same pattern for the metal lunchboxes, but that's a much more complex procedure to turn sheet aluminum into a lunchbox than it is just to stamp out a bunch of plastic lunchboxes and slap stickers on them.
Exactly. Way cheaper.
No lithographs, no high process anything.
Probably preferred to also by parents, because parents probably figured they were more durable.
Yeah.
Okay, so for September, I found something, and I present this in no way of being disrespectful.
Oh, and I do want to point out to the
Oh, sure.
kids, deep empathy for you on that prior segment, because that is no holiday at all, back to school.
Oh, I know. I, you
I
know, I get,
remember well.
I got excited getting my stuff, because it usually meant getting something in the way of either Spider-Man or Super Friends or Star Wars, like notebooks and spirals and stuff like
Did
that.
you have
So
a Star Wars Trapper Keeper?
I did not have a Trapper Keeper, but I definitely had the folders and the spiral
Oh, yes.
notebooks. Yeah.
Especially that Empire Strikes Back folder that had the War Kettle and I can't remember the other character's name, but the two background that had the Snaggletooth and the Hair Mouse aliens that were supposedly on Bespin.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, there's a folder of them.
Yes, or well, they're it's like one of those during Empire where they would do like three or four images on the folder as sort of a little Easter collage.
Oh wow. Okay, so for September, and I preface this with saying that this is no way mean of meant to be disrespectful, but because I think this was actually done by a Jewish person, an artist. But for Rosh Hashanah in September, someone posted where if you wanted to celebrate the holiday and make a Star Wars menorah, he posted I Hey, let's see. The website it was posted on was BibleBeltBalabusta.com. I don't know what Balabusta means, but a way to use your Star Wars minifigs and basic yellow bricks and create a Star Wars menorah as part of decoration for Rosh Hashanah. And I thought,
I'm presuming this is Lego Star Wars minifigs.
yes, Lego Star Wars minifigs, where he and you get the yellow bricks and you create the menorah, and then you get your minifigs and remove the hair or helmet or whatever else to where they're bald, and then you get the little Lego flames I guess you could buy as
Oh,
accessories.
yeah.
This in particular image has, and you could probably Google Star Wars menorah, Lego menorah. The middle candle is replaced with Han and Carbonite, and then the other eight spots are eight minifigs, and like I said, they removed the hair or the helmet, leaving the little peg hole on the top of their head, and they've replaced that. On the top of their head, they've put the little flame accessories that you can purchase, and stuck a flame in each of the tops of their heads and the top of the Han Solo and
Yeah, because
Carbonite.
oftentimes you'll see those flames in things like castles or
Yes, exactly. I guess you could purchase those
kind
like
of doubling as a
replacements.
torch or something like
Yeah,
that.
yeah. So that's what they did, is they, as part of their decoration for their house, this guy figured out how to build a menorah
Nice.
to set up set out in September. So there you go. We managed to cover September somehow.
There should be some more licensed merchandise, but then again, I guess that would. The problem is a lot of the holidays that are, religious holidays that haven't been greatly commercialized,
Yeah.
becomes almost like sacrilegious.
Yeah. And it's all, and like I said, it's all in the person's heart. Like this person
Oh, yeah.
obviously is a Star Wars fan, and he's also deeply into his Jewish faith. So he wanted
Exactly.
to do something
Kind
fun
of
during
celebrate
September.
both.
Exactly. He wanted to do something fun during September to celebrate and make it fun. So like there's no disrespect there. It's all in the how you approach it. But
And now we're approaching,
the big one.
yes, one of the biggest of the year for just Star Wars everything. And when we were talking about this, it certainly invoked a memory in me that invoked a memory in Eddie that something that used to actually happen every October for several years in a row that was largely forgotten.
Yeah.
And of course, October, you're thinking you're heading barreling up on October 31st. That's the quasi holiday of course that the Halloween is just purpose built for Star Wars or vice versa. I'm not sure which direction you want to go there. But Star Wars lent itself beautifully to the traditional masquerade
Oh, yeah.
aspect of Halloween, and everybody who was anybody in Halloween jumped the hell all over that and continues to do so.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the really fascinating things is I got really into collecting masks when I was in my high school years, mostly Don Post Studios because they were producing some great Star Wars helmets and masks and such.
Yeah.
Back when, I mean, had the license, they were producing some amazing stuff.
Exactly.
And some of it was weird because they would sort of wax and wane between just downright insanely well crafted, the stuff that, by comparison to some of the stuff coming out today, you're like, wow, they took a few shortcuts.
Yes.
But, one of the coolest things ever was having this Darth Vader helmet that was this two-piece thing that, with my ponderous melon, I'd have to just sort of like force my face into it. It would like shave
I see what you did there. Force your face.
Yeah, force your face. Actual skin off just to get it. But it's worth it. Yeah, and then it had like a Velcro strip on the top so you could like plug the top of the helmet on there.
Uh-huh.
And this Yoda mask that very cleverly, the eye holes were just little slits above his beady eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this really cool element there. But Sears, the department store, Sears, in the mall, would, in a lot of markets, have what they called their, I think they called it the masquerade shop or something like that.
Yes, yes.
And it would just be a little pop-up somewhere in the store. At this particular one that you and I would have frequented, it more often than not wound up like over near one of the departments where the escalators had kind of intruded on their footprint of that department.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just kind of bring in some little shelves and just kind of set up this little shop within the store.
Yeah.
And I bought some Star Wars masks there over the years. I bought an E.T. mask that Don Post made.
Yeah. I remember the setup at Redbird Mall well, so well that after you reminded me of this, after the mics went cold, I remember the visual of how it was set up. I remember how they would have the masks display high enough to where kids like me couldn't reach them.
Yeah,
I remember the spot, the exact spot. This one particular year it was set, because it, like you mentioned off mic, it moved locations, but I remember distinctly this one little like side room one year where they had it set up inside. It was very, and then another year was set up by the escalators, and yeah, I mean, it's just all.
Yeah, you had to
back.
Kind of look for it, and then came the dreadful year where you went and kind of looked for it, and it kind of wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. It was like heartbreaking.
I know. I was like, man, this was my tradition. I bought my Admiral Ackbar mask at Sears, of all places.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and certainly, you know, that you had everything from the traditional Ben Cooper, which we talked about on the live show, actually before that particular live show, had bought on eBay an original Ben Cooper C-3PO costume.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the kind, if you're unfamiliar, they would have these sort of like really cheap plastic half masks,
mm-hmm,
with an elastic strap to hold it on your face.
Yeah.
And they would have a the annoying thing about Ben Cooper masks or Ben Cooper Halloween costumes, from the earliest childhood memories, I always hated the fact that instead of having the, they would give you like this little one size fits all tie on shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sort of tied the back like a hospital gown.
Yeah, really.
And sometimes there were pants involved back before it just wasn't cost effective anymore.
Yeah.
And they would usually just have this graphic of the character. Like, mm-hmm, why would I wear their face and a picture of them?
Exactly.
You know, I'm a C-3PO. Am I not getting C-3PO's chest plate?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I getting a picture of C-3PO? It's kind of hard to sell. I'm C-3PO.
Well, they went
running around like some narcissistic droid with a picture of myself on the.
Exactly. They went in both directions. Like, I distinctly remember the Luke X-Wing pilot. Luke, the bodysuit was a proper bodysuit, you know, with, you know, where, you know, like you still would slip into it. You put your legs in it first, step into it, and then, you know, you're. A parent or whoever would tie it in the back like you would a hospital,
yeah,
gown. So it wasn't just in like an apron type thing. It was like a plastic bodysuit. But I remember the Luke X-Wing Luke was a proper pilot.
Oh, they actually
gear.
Did the graphic to,
exactly,
the actual suit. That's cool.
And it was rare that they would do that. Like there was a Hoth Leia that I remember. That's, they did the same,
yeah,
thing where for the girls, like the Hoth Leia, not only was it awesome that they actually went through the trouble of recreating the little hairstyle that she had on Hoth, but the jumpsuit reflected that look, you know, the like the puffy jacket type look. The only drawback is they still felt the need to put on the chest a little, like a little name badge that said Princess Leia.
Oh, like, hello, like, my name is.
Right. It was almost perfectly done. It was almost, and but the same with oh, thinking back, the same with the Luke Skywalker pilot one. It was almost perfect because on the white vest, right above his little hanging chest piece, was it said Luke Skywalker right across the white vest piece. And I thought, we get that it's Luke Skywalker. We get that it's Princess Leia. Do you have to?
That like, was for the benefit. Of the little grandmas who would come and like have this big old bowl of Tootsie Rolls, like, oh, you're so cute. Who are you? Oh, you're Luke Skywalker.
Right.
And
I mean, come on.
I don't know who the hell you are back there because your thing doesn't have a name tag on it.
Right. Even Grandma Biddy should know exactly who these people are. I mean, unless they're trick or treating in Amish country, they're going to know who these characters are.
Oh, your children shouldn't come around here. There's no Star Wars in the Bible.
Hey.
There's stars and there's wars, but there's no Star Wars in the Bible.
We don't have any candy, but we do have some butter. Would you like a slab of butter?
Here, take some butter. Yeah, and then you got the jerk on the block who hands out pennies. Or, as we talked about on Hey Kids Comics, the Thomas Chick Tracts.
Yeah, I was on that episode.
That's right. It's like, oh, look at you in your little costumes. You're damned. Here you go.
I would have loved to have gotten Chick Tracks as a kid because I was so into comic books.
They're comics. Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't have cared what the message inside said. I just wanted, a free comic book. That's what I do now is when we give out candy, we also give out comic books. We'll have a stack of comics so when kids come by our house for trick-or-treating, they can choose a comic. But anyway, I'm getting side-railed. But yeah, the Ben Cooper stuff, you're right. More often than not, it had the, like, Chewbacca. It couldn't have just been a furry body with a bandolier, although maybe they came out with a variation later that did, but it was the Chewbacca mask with the weird, like, Chico and the Man mustache instead of, like, full face, and the bodysuit was a hair bodysuit drawn on, obviously, but in the middle was like this orange explosion with Chewbacca with this big-ass goofy grin. You know, just like he was so happy. He was so excited to be slapped onto the front of this Halloween costume. It's bizarre looking. It's so bizarre. Oh,
yeah, it's like there was a an Admiral Ackbar one.
Yes.
That was like that, so it makes it look like he's wearing a bib.
Yes, and I was going to say, I remember that. It had the Ackbar bib as part of the design. It was so weird. It's so weird. And they came out with two Ackbar masks. I'm not sure if you were aware of this, Cole, but one was just, it was basically the same mold. I think the paint job was like a little better on the re-release. Because I think the first one looked a little bit more like the creature that came to hunt Alex Rogan, is it Alex Rogan in Last Starfighter? Yeah.
Yeah,
where the creature that came to Earth to hunt Alex Rogan, you know, he was kind of Ackbar-ish because he had like the eyes to the side of his noggin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think probably kids were getting confused that this costume was that character, so then they they went back and re-released it as a proper, you know, like a little bit more closer to the movie version.
But, and then some of them were just downright frightening.
Yeah.
Like any of the aliens and the droids and stuff. And also the fact that, going back to Ackbar real quick, it looked like Ackbar had swallowed you.
Yeah.
Because it had eye holes in his mouth.
Yeah, it was so weird.
It's like, come here, kid. It's a trap.
I know, it was bizarre how they, I mean, I guess they had to work with what they had to work with, but you would just think, why not make the nostrils like little slits?
Exactly.
But
I guess,
who knows?
Yeah, I guess their designers were trying to figure something out there. I did see that Chewbacca. Wow.
Well, the only thing is about the Ackbar is what I figure is they had like safety regulations that they had to adhere to.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe they had to add proper holes and not slits for children.
Yeah, that's a good point. But the human characters didn't always translate that well.
Yeah.
There was a Luke in the X-Wing pilot you mentioned that he just looks a little bit disturbed, like a corpse or something.
Yeah.
And there's a Leia one that was just downright freakish.
Is it the New Hope Leia?
I think so.
Yes, because it's like she's... It literally looks like she's got the goiter going.
Yeah, it's like a new hopeless.
and the plastic dress that came with it. I don't know if you remember seeing it, Cole, but it was like it was the gaudiest thing. It wasn't just like they couldn't have just stuck a picture of Leia on the front. It was like the most amateurly drawn rendition of the Hildebrandt pose where Luke's got his lightsaber up.
Oh, that's
up.
Right. Yes.
But it was so poorly done. And then you had R2-3PO to one side, Chewbacca to the other, and then her little belt was like yellow with like red gems, and in the middle they had to do this on all of them. In the middle of if they had a belt as part of the costume, the belt buckle had to say Star Wars or Return of the Jedi
or the Gamorrean guard. It looks like he's wearing a sash. Like, oh, look who won Miss Gamorrean guard.
Yeah. Oh yes, it did. He had his name on the sash and in the big Revenge of the Jedi belt buckle.
Yes.
If it wasn't for those two things, it would have been a proper-looking Gamorrean guard body.
They just kept missing the point. It's like right. When I love the fact back when Blade Runner came out, by way of example, that there was a I think it was Erdl actually fielded a little miniature, you know, Hot Wheels size spinner from Blade Runner, the flying car.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
But on the top, on the roof of it, is the Blade Runner logo.
Oh, yeah, I got excited for a second.
I know.
I would have hunted that down so fast. Oh,
there's
man.
A better version that was, I think, a loot crate thing that okay. somebody might. But then also, touching on the Ben Cooper, if you see the original Star Wars Luke Skywalker costume, mm-hmm. yeah. that I think had that same just poorly rendered, like, you know, there were coloring books that hired better artists
yeah.
than this one.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, wouldn't it be great to own the original art from some of this stuff?
Oh, I know.
But the Luke Skywalker looks like a murder mask.
Are you talking about the New Hope Luke?
Yeah.
Yes,
or he's got like the red orange hair.
Yes, it's so weird. And
it
do you
looks
remember?
Like, it looks like the love child of Lucille Ball and Jason.
Well, it's not that bad, but that's a good combo. I think the love child of Lucille Ball and Jason would have been Admiral Ackbar.
That's true, yeah.
But do you remember his bodysuit?
That ain't my baby.
For the New Hope, like the one you're talking about, was like the one of the most bizarre of all of them because it wasn't even attempting to look like his garb. It was the chest piece from shoulders to waist was blue with the drawn image of Luke holding up the lightsaber, which was white, drawn way better than the Leia one, but
yeah.
still pretty amateurs with the old school Star Wars logo behind them. But then it had short sleeves, and the pant legs were like this dark red. Like,
oh.
It was so the whole bodysuit was mostly blue and red. And you're thinking, Luke didn't wear blue and red. And I remember as a kid seeing that, thinking that doesn't look like Luke Skywalker. I mean, it looks like a Star Wars fan wearing a Star Wars T-shirt.
Exactly,
because it didn't look anything like what Luke would wear. It was bizarre.
And I couldn't tell you who made them. But back in 77 mm-hmm. or 78, right about the time the first Star Wars comic books were coming out.
Yeah.
We were up in Colorado, and we were in this little shop, and they had these rubber Star Wars masks.
Yeah.
They were like real super thin rubber.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would have like a kind of a semi-rigid plastic insert in the front to kind of hold the front of it.
Oh yeah, up yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, where it'd be a little bit more rigid. Mm-hmm. And they did a Stormtrooper, which is a full head mask, and I bought this Tusken Raider that was a three-quarter head mask.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because it was, you know, it was the first Tusken Raider mask that anyone ever did, and for the longest, the only one.
Yeah.
And it was, but the problem was it was just so flimsy, and being a three-quarter head mask, it started to tear at that.
Oh,
at that
yeah.
jointing of the head, you know.
Uh huh. Well, Ben Cooper made a
Catherine asked if maybe that was a fetish shop thing. Oh, that's right. There was a
The Ben cheap Cooper. Plastic one. Yeah, Ben Cooper made one in 77 of the – or 78, whenever it came out. Yeah, of the Tusken Raider, which I always thought was – that. I thought that would be a cool one to own, to hang on the wall. Mm-hmm. Because it literally looked like they scaled up the sculpt of the figure to make this.
Yeah, it does look a lot like that.
It's almost as if where the other ones are just like they're working off of photos. It looked like whoever made the mold for the Tusken Raider Ben Cooper cheap mask was working off the action figure. It's very cool looking.
Yeah.
So that would be the one I would try to track down to hang on the wall. I know we got a lot of Halloween and stuff to cover still, but I wanted to cover a couple of interesting variations of, you know, there was a Yoda one that I remember hearing about, and it took a while to find the right image. But, you know, you had two different versions of Yoda that came out. You had the proper green mask, where it was like the full body suit, and it's, you know, had Yoda standing there. And that you know, the photo you would always see when they were promoting Empire and Yoda, it was him just standing there holding the cane as if he's watching Luke. It was that illustration. And then the other version that apparently is much harder to find and is more bizarre is painted in like a light blue. I guess it's supposed to be a blue-green, but it comes out as being like Smurf blue almost. And this is Yoda's head. And on top of that, they painted in the inside of his ears and his lips bright pink. So it looks like he's like,
wow, like
decked out for the night.
Smurf. Yeah.
Trans Smurf. And even the bodysuit was different. They just didn't go with the same bodysuit. The bodysuit was blue. So it was like, okay, the mask is blue. The bodysuit is blue. It's like someone got it wrong completely. They thought Yoda was going to be blue and not green. And it's a very oddly drawing of Yoda where he's got like pimp robes on instead of his brown robes. And he's got a hand up like he's waving at you, and it looks real creepy. If you can manage to find a picture of it, it's just bizarre all the way around, from the lipstick to the creepy Yoda on the chest. It's like the oddest of the variations on these things. But there was another variation that drove collectors crazy once, you know, time passed and people started rediscovering, hey, I'm going to go back and buy some of these old items from the 70s and 80s that, you know.
Yeah.
It was the Boba Fett variation. Of course, they had the proper Boba Fett mask. You know,
the one that was literally, they predicted Jango Fett.
Yes, it was silver with like orange stripes as opposed to the greens and the red. And yeah, it was silver, and the bodysuit was silver. It had a green armor.
I can't help but wonder if they just didn't have all the details yet.
No, and probably not.
Because they would have had to go into production so soon, you know?
Right, and it's like Bullet Man or something, or Infrared Man or one of these, more than Boba Fett. But it is so bizarre because you can see how it was. It's like prototype Ralph McQuarrie Fett, but not even that. It's bizarre. And the chest piece, of course, his belt says Boba Fett.
It's
got a copyright of 77, so yeah, my guess is they rushed this out so fast. They hadn't even finalized the look of Boba Fett yet. But
yeah, they just knew that was
going to be
even before the color scheme had been largely established by the cartoon.
A
year later. And that's the funny thing about Boba Fett. You don't realize how long he'd been around before Empire. Yeah,
exactly. But the illustration, whoever they hired, it literally looked like they got like Timmy Jones from third grade won his art contest, so they hired him to draw Boba Fett. In the midst of all these poorly drawn Ben Cooper illustrations, this is like the king of poorly drawn illustrations. I mean, it is horribly bad to the point where they wanted to make sure they drew in his jetpack, and this must have been early on that. You could tell, like, what they were going for is the missile-firing rocket in his backpack was even drawn in. Because I'm not trying to be nasty, but it literally looks like a dildo. It looks like it's got a phallic shape. It's got, like, a little knob at the top, like a head. It's very nasty looking. But they had to like place the backpack at such an odd angle that you get the impression that, hey, I'm facing forward, kids, at you with my fist in the air. But
Yeah,
for
because
some odd
you're.
reason, my backpack is turned to the side and pushed over to make sure you know that the action figure is going to have a rocket-firing missile that comes with it. It was such
Oh,
poor
and then it's
planning.
just so god awful looking.
Oh, do you see it? Have you
It
spun it?
actually, it I've actually found the thing, and it is dreadful.
Yeah, it looks like a knight more than Boba Fett.
And I found your Smurf Yoda too, and wow, that is a
Yeah.
pimp robe.
It's like he's staying the weekend at the Playboy Mansion or something.
But of
Oh my
course, as you
gosh.
go into the years further and further along, you become you see even more and more Star Wars prevalence at
Yeah.
Halloween.
Oh yeah.
The point where you have like the Halloween your trick or treat buckets in the shapes of Star Wars characters and
Oh yeah, I guess we should get into other aspects of Halloween, not just the
yeah.
costumes. That's a good idea.
And sometimes even nowadays some Halloween candy that's themed with Star Wars, but
I'm not sure if you have one of these, Cole, but I think you do. But my favorite little item that I don't have that I'd like to eventually get are the little, like, 20-inch tall little characters that hold the bowls for
oh yeah, I
candy.
don't have one of those, but I know like you mentioned Bobby Blakey earlier. Bobby definitely had, and there seemed to be. For a while there, they were just going gangbusters, making all kinds of characters. And I think for my money, the Jawa is kind of the coolest.
Yeah, see, I didn't know until researching for this episode that there was a Jawa. I would
Yeah, the
love to have the
Jawa one is
Jawa.
a fun. I mean, and it's a clever one because they're so relatively small, you know?
Well, that and they kind of lend themselves to more of like a creepy look for Halloween, you
Yeah.
know. As far as like detail is concerned, the Yoda one is pretty cool looking because
Yeah,
it's.
Yoda works well too because he's
Yeah.
diminutive.
But with the other ones, they have more of a cartoon style to them. The Fett, the Vader, the Stormtrooper, even Darth Maul looks like a chibi character.
I guess with the Jawa rather, the a realistic Jawa and a cartoon Jawa, there's little disconnect between the two. They're almost indistinguishable.
But the Yoda
Yoda
sculpt.
looks like he's pissed off.
Yeah, but look at the detail they put into
Yeah,
it,
they
as
did put a lot
opposed
of
to the
detail.
others. That's what I don't get. It's like they, whatever artist designed the other ones, got fired before they did the
I
Yoda,
know.
and they hired somebody else because it's so well sculpted. It's very well sculpted, in fact. But yeah, my money would be for that Jawa because I hadn't found out until a few days ago that there was a Jawa made. I thought, why do I not have that one?
And then
Because
another the really fascinating thing going back to costumes is accessories for Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Because in addition to the kind of Star Wars lightsabers and toy guns you'll see year round, a lot of these costume companies are really kicking into high gear with some really cool accessories. Sometimes there are costume element pistols. Star Wars pistols out there that are as good or better for less money than the ones over on the toy aisle.
Oh, definitely. Case in point, I hit up it could have been either Target or Walmart like a couple of years back, and they had been selling a Stormtrooper blaster, and it was like
Yes.
yeah, exactly. And on clearance, it was like $2 or something. I was like, okay, I got it. And then after I held it in my hand, I realized, as far as scale and detail is concerned, it was really well done, really
Yes.
well done. And the real regular retail was only like $10 on it. It was crazy. And I thought, all you have to do is give this a paint job, and it will look like a proper prop. It's insane.
And then, of course, any holiday worth its salt, everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon. So you've got Star Wars pumpkin carving kits.
Oh yeah.
Complete with guides so you can do your own carving. You've got
Well, if you're being really lazy like me, because Colleen loves carving pumpkins. I get frustrated after 2 minutes. They make the little character heads and arms that you can
the thing. Cram Yoda ears and faces and stuff on your.
Yeah, like the pumpkin is their torso, and then you attach the arms and the head.
Yes.
I have the BB-8 one. Only because.
Oh,
because
it's a gimme, you know.
Well, that and because Lowe's had it on clearance for like $2 again. Yeah. So, you know.
And you also are starting to get like, you know, what used to be the purview of Christmas yard decorations, these sort of.
Yes.
Lit up inflato type of things is.
And the only difference is that for Halloween, it's the same blow up figure, but they're holding a pumpkin or a candy bag. And at Christmas time, they're holding a candy cane or a gift.
Exactly. And then the other aspect of costuming we very nearly were going to miss was why simply stop dressing yourself and your children for Halloween? Because there's nothing your pets love more than for you to put a bunch of elastic and Velcro crap on them.
Well,
parade them around the neighborhood.
Well, speaking of Velcro, our dog Velcro actually loves to be dressed up in costumes. He will put a costume on him, and he will refuse to have it taken off. When it comes time to us to take it off, he will run from us because he wants to keep it on.
Fun.
But yeah, you're right. They've come up with the best. Unfortunately, the costumes they come up with for the dogs are too small for ours.
Yeah.
But there's two in particular I wish I had. One is a dewback with a little plush stormtrooper in the saddle that you can dress your dog up. And the other is a Bantha with a plush.
Yes, I was actually just looking at a Bantha one.
I mean, I might be able to get away.
And then like the AT-AT.
Yes, the AT-AT. I might be able to get away with the Bantha for Velcro because it looks like it's just a headpiece and saddle. So he's skinny enough to where it might work on him, but definitely not the dewback. You know, we should, on the live show in October, we should do a whole costume episode.
Yes, I think so. We've done that sort of thing before, but we really never talked about, especially the really targeted things like, you know, one of the things I think is very clever are the little costumes for little kids that are, you know, very specific, perfect choices.
Yeah.
Like Yoda and such. And of course, Halloween wouldn't be complete without, if you see any sort of like ad for Party City or anything, any place that has costumes or online costume retailers or those pop-ups that come up every September, inevitably the Slave Leia costume is front and center.
Of course. Because we have to have sexy everything at Halloween time.
Exactly. Sexy Vader, sexy Jar Jar. Yeah.
I mean, it goes beyond that. You have to have, like, you know, like, I know a friend of mine joked that, like, the year of the Ebola scare, there was sexy Ebola virus victim, you know.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
It's stuff like that where it just gets bizarre. Oh, my gosh. You know what?
That one that was like, it was a costume marketed to like, you know, preteen girls.
Uh-huh.
And the company inadvertently, I guess they went sexy crazy, putting sexy on everything that was.
Oh my God, for preteens?
Yes. And of course, you know, it puts the retailer in hot water. Like, that was their idea.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no, this is a stretch. I actually found a BB-8 dog costume. But it's just like this dog, you know, was running so fast it crashed into BB-8.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's like kind of like the sphere is dead center around its middle and
a
little BB-8 head on top of its head. And it's like, you know, I'm going to wear your skin as my skin. Your robot skin.
Well, you know, just real quick before we exit to Thanksgiving, there's a couple of items I wish I could find out who manufactures them. I'm going to research it a little more. I honestly came across them just earlier today. But one is a really cool Darth Vader Halloween goblet where the
it's sexy Emperor Palpatine? The hell? There's not really a costume.
Oh, gosh. It's Vader's head. It's Vader's head on top of a goblet stem, and it's all black. The stem is black to match his thing, but his goggles are cut out, and the top of his head is sliced away like, you know, the monkey brain thing in Temple of Doom. And inside it is an orange cup. So when the orange cup is in it, his eyes are orange instead of black.
Oh,
And it
okay.
is real cool looking. And I thought, I need to find out who makes that and order some for Halloween.
Yes.
The other thing, the only lead I have on this thing, maybe a listener can help me out, is maybe it was sold in the Disney stores or Disney parks. But
Okay.
it's like a little Halloween stained glass little ornament thing where it's that, it reminds me of the opening animation in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, where like Abbott and Costello's silhouettes were like on a grassy field with a dead tree hanging over, and they were walking by. And then after they walked by, this is of course animated.
Yeah.
The silhouettes of Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and Dracula walk by, and as the credits are going, it's that kind of look where it's like a black silhouetted grassy field and a dead tree, and it's Leia, Vader, Boba Fett, Yoda, and Chewbacca all carrying pumpkin, jack-o'-lantern, candy buckets.
Ha.
And but what's cool about it is the top of the stained glass ornament is rounded like you would normally see like the moon, but instead
Yeah.
of the moon, it's the Death Star. It's
Oh,
orange.
nice.
It's orange, and the blaster part of the Death Star is yellow like a moon. So it's like when you're not, if you think you're looking at a sky and a moon, and you realize, wait, I'm looking at the Death Star. It is real nice looking.
Nice. That's cool. Well, I have to say, I kind of jokingly said sexy Emperor Palpatine, and then I
Oh
stumbled
my.
on an actual, what I
Sexy
believe to. Oh,
Snoke.
no, this is sexy Snoke. This is an actual costume, I believe.
Okay.
Because it's very professionally photographed. But it is a Slave Leia cat costume.
No.
It
No.
has a little kind of burgundy and gold dresslet. And God's truth. A little metal bikini brassiere thing that hangs over the cat's neck, I guess. It's like supposedly it's going to sit there and put up with this.
Oh my gosh.
Though actually there are cats that are mellow enough. There was somebody I used to work with that wound up taking the clinic cat when the vet retired
Yeah.
and would routinely dress this just insanely mellow Siamese cat, mind you, dress him up in costumes for Halloween and won like a costume contest at Six Flags Over Texas one year by dressing her dog up as Tom Sawyer, carrying a bucket with that damn cat in it, dressed as a frog in its mouth.
Wow.
So it's
Oh
like
my.
supposed to be Tom Sawyer carrying a frog in a bucket around.
Yeah. Okay, Cole, I can verify the Slave Leia cat costume is real, and it was sold through Petco during Force Awakens, and it could also be used for a dog. But it was
Yikes.
manufactured as a cat costume. And on the best part, and bravo to Petco and whoever made this for doing this, they stuck to the name Princess Leia's slave costume. They
Okay,
actually put
yeah.
in
Like it actually,
slave.
back when you could still call it that, you know.
Exactly. Well, this was during Force Awakens, so it was
Oh,
only
that's
a few years.
true. So I guess that might have even been after Pissy Dad.
It was after Pissy Dad. I love that. That's his name from now on, Pissy Dad.
We need to talk about Pissy Dad on the live show sometime
We
because
did for a tad bit, I believe.
yeah.
It, yeah. I think it was either.
That still irks me to this day.
Oh
So
my gosh, yes.
we'll go on now into another kind of you just don't see a lot of Ewoks wearing hats with buckles on them or.
But you should. You'd think there would be like stuffed. They wanted to make these stuffed animals, stuffed characters, where they're either holding a candy bag or they're wearing a Santa hat. Why not just
Yeah.
put a pumpkin, a pilgrim hat on top of them if you're
Well, at
gonna.
this point, why not just do a plush Chewbacca holding a porg corpse in his hand?
Exactly,
Freshly
exactly.
roasted porg that he can't eat.
I do have a couple of Thanksgiving offerings. One is, they're both stretches, but they both work for Thanksgiving. One is, if you're really, just adamant about having a Star Wars-themed Thanksgiving dinner, there are plenty of Star Wars plates out there for you to decorate your
table
true.
With.
Zach's apparently more recently had the license, where Zach's did a lot of the classic characters, and they used a lot of the Al Williamson artwork from the old Marvel comics, just in black and white. And they're actually really sharp-looking plates.
Well, then there were those BB-8 and Millennium Falcon-shaped plates that ThinkGeek had for years.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's possible. Of course, they make the goblets and the cups and all that to go with them. So you can have a proper setting of all this stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, now the other thing I'm going to throw in as part of Thanksgiving, because this is more another thing, more like tradition, like with the school supplies. But it always, for me, it was always a big deal to do this thing during Thanksgiving. And that is breaking out the Sears wish book and turning to the toy section.
Very good.
I will declare that as an official Thanksgiving Star Wars holiday tradition.
I think so. Sadly dead tradition, but one that'll live on in some fans' hearts, those of us who are old enough to remember what that was like and how cool it was to see what was coming up with Star Wars.
And for those who may not be familiar with the Sears wish book, Cole, would you like to drop some knowledge on them?
Well, there was a time when annually Sears and JCPenney especially, but yeah. I think Sears was the most shrewd, because every year they would publish this massive catalog, chock full of everything that they sold in their stores.
Yeah.
And you could actually order from the catalog and pick it up in the store about a week later or something like that. My movie camera I bought from a Sears catalog. But there was something about the paper.
Yeah.
This glossy, just microscopically thin paper that department store catalogs were made of annually, that had this wonderful aroma.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
This beautiful paper aroma that no other paper product known to man had. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they had it scented, but
you're right. It had a different scent, and you would think, because of the thickness of the weight of the paper and because of the printing, you would think that Sunday newspaper circulars would have that same scent, but they didn't.
No.
It was bizarre.
Not remotely.
I know. It was so bizarre.
There was something that was unique to the Sears catalog especially, and I can still, you know, smell it in my mind's nose, as it were.
Okay, I'm looking at the Sears wish book. And this has the Sears, and Sears was the first one. I don't care who you are. You want to brag about San Diego Comic-Con exclusives, Target exclusives, Toys R Us exclusives. Rest in peace, Toys R Us. But the first one to do any type of exclusive was Sears.
And that is always, so true. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, and you only found out about it first in the Sears wish book. And I'm looking at this right now. It's got the Tatooine playset with the infamous blue Snaggletooth. I didn't realize this until looking at this thing, Cole, that number one, you could get your blue Snaggletooth by purchasing the cardboard playset. But apparently here, you could also have gotten blue Snaggletooth from Sears as a two-pack with Greedo. Just the figures.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it says right here.
I guess because I actually bought that from that catalog.
Yeah,
Christmas, the very thing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because they used to, because the catalog was such a, the way that was, the catalog purchases were done.
Yeah,
they wouldn't just sell you like one figure.
No,
they always grouped them, and sometimes they were sensible, like Darth Vader and two Stormtroopers.
It was
like, you know, Lando and a Jawa.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what? Just like, well, how much extra Jawas laying around?
Yeah, on this particular page, page 574 of the Sears Wish Book,
Wow.
Item number 8, Credo and Blue, not Blue, but it says Snaggletooth, but it's the Blue Snaggletooth. Item number 49NS9412, shipping weight 8 ounces. The price for both figures, $3.66. Could you imagine getting not just the Blue Snaggletooth and Greedo together and still only paying $3.66? Crazy.
I'm going to have to do some research on things. I had forgotten that they were offered Snaggletooth and Greedo and Walrus Man and Hammerhead. To find out, were they just sort of, did they just like give you two little baggies like came inside the set? Because that was basically their exclusive. So yeah, they could have chosen to produce X number of units with the cardboard backdrop and the box and the whole nine yards, mm-hmm, and then produce additional units. I'm curious to know, did Blue Snaggletooth come out both ways, or did they wind up shipping those sets with the replacement Snaggletooth on the card?
No, I almost, this is like such a far back memory, but I can almost think that I remember a kid getting his figures this way through by way of the Sears catalog.
Yeah.
And I almost think that they shipped them to him, or he picked them up, or whatever the case was, and they came in like the little baggies in a box, in a plain box. I don't think there was a lot of stuff like that
from, because Sears would have sometimes these multi-packs.
Yes.
And there might be a line drawing of the character on a white package.
Yeah. It's a far back memory, but I think I remember.
You're probably right on that. I had forgotten that the Death Star was offered that same Christmas.
But here's, oddly enough, there's another Sears Wish book I came across where the image is not just, this image was Blue Snaggletooth and Greedo, but then this other year, it may have been the very next year because Boba Fett is now offered on this particular one. It was, you could get the Blue Snaggletooth in the Mos Eisley set, but if you bought him separately with Greedo still, it was the traditional short Snaggletooth. Both variations appear on the same catalog page. That's what's so bizarre.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It's kind of weird that way.
Yes, I remember, you know, we didn't have the kind of ubiquitous knowledge of everything in the world back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, on demand. So I remember going shopping for Star Wars figures and being surprised that I had to buy another damn Snaggletooth.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the other thing is that for many years, the Snaggletooth was the only time that a figure was unique to Sears.
Mm-hmm.
And they did have other catalog exclusives. They would follow during the years of The Empire Strikes Back. You had a Hoth, was it the Rebel Command Center, that was little more than the Land of the Jawas base.
Yeah.
With a backdrop of the Rebel base.
Yeah.
But it was your first shot. You were able to, like, I bought them every year because I didn't want to have to try to track down three or four figures.
Mm-hmm.
Because they started getting cheap after the first two.
Yeah.
The second one they did was a Cloud City playset with this god-awful cardboard carbonite freeze chamber.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, tabs and slots.
Yeah.
Very insubstantial. But it had Bespin Han, Lobbit, Dengar, and the Ugnaught. Mm-hmm. And that meant that's four figures I don't have to track down on the card.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be some variation. There was, but maybe.
But I wonder if there might have been near indistinguishable variations. Because when you go back and research the vintage Kenner line, and you find out that there's, in fact, like, you know, four different C-3POs or three different, you know.
True enough, loops. Yeah.
You kind of wondered those minuscule variations happen in the exclusive sets. Who knows? Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, and then what was neat is by Jedi, they repurposed the base of the droid factory.
Yeah.
Filled in all of the slots with tchotchkes and, you know, molded elements.
Yeah.
And they released two different Jabba the Hutt dungeons.
Yeah.
In subsequent years. The first one was Klaatu Nikto and 8D8.
Yeah.
And it had a gray base and mm-hmm. Then the next one that they came out with was had a oh gosh, it was a Man-O-Man was one of them.
Yeah, I remember that it came with the Man-O-Man. I can't remember who else it came with.
And I never saw a Man-O-Man anywhere.
Oh yeah, we know.
Myself, yeah, I will beat that drum. I'm trying to remember who all it came with, but that was a neat way to at least, you know, fill in your collection ahead of the carded releases.
Oh yeah, it was a big deal.
It was a Barada 99 and a Man-O-Man, and I was in college, and I had to get a friend of mine to drive me over to the Sears outlet so I could pick up my catalog purchase.
Yeah,
and that was about, I don't know, the Sears catalog would only last another decade, I think.
Yeah, not very long, not very long at all. All right, should we tackle Christmas? I don't think it's going to be as big as Halloween, to be honest, but we have hit well over the hour mark. We're going on at close to an hour and a half now.
Oh, almost. Wow, yeah, so we'll go ahead and we'll jump in the middle of Christmas, because certainly we've led into it, Thanksgiving into Christmas, with the Sears Wish Book.
Yeah, one thing that, as far as Christmas-themed things, merchandise is concerned, I'm going to mention one of the earliest ones, and that's the album Christmas in the Stars, the Star Wars Christmas album.
Oh, very good.
Which actually featured Anthony Daniels on it as C-3PO.
Wow.
And
It
was produced by Rhino, and it was also Miko. I didn't realize that until I was looking at it just now. Miko did this as well.
Yeah.
So Rhino did the re-release. I'm looking at this wrong. Rhino did the re-release. Miko was the original release, and they're the same ones that did the disco album, which I have.
Exactly.
So they were that's something else. And the illustration, if you're not familiar with it, Google Star Wars Christmas album. It's got such a fun, well illustrated painting as the album cover. Why they have not released this as just like a standalone print to have for at Christmas time, it's mind-boggling. But it's Santa's workshop. Santa's sitting in front of the fireplace, and C-3 was next to him. R2 is like fiddling about with some toys and a little wagon. It's just really,
yeah,
really well done.
And it invokes the style of a kind of a Courier and Ives almost.
Yeah, that or Norman Rockwell-ish, you know, something classic. It's got a very classic feel to it, which is the far opposite of the disco art album, you know, where it had that disco, that airbrushed disco look. This has a traditional oil painting look.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool, really cool. And, yeah, I mean, and it has your traditional, all your, one of the best songs, song names on here is track number 4, What Can You Get a Wookiee for Christmas?
When that's a classic.
When he already owns a comb. That's the only one where they changed the name to something Star Wars. Oh, no, R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. That's the other one.
Yeah.
Everything else still has the traditional names as the songs.
But, yeah, it's like Sleigh Ride. They didn't change it to anything else because I guess at that point we didn't have snow speeders yet.
You know, this would have been 78, probably. Yeah. I think this was 78 originally. I'm not 100% sure of that, though. But yeah, it's probably one of the earliest, if not the first, Christmas-centric.
Oh, and you know what we forgot to mention, just because it deserves this.
Yeah.
Since this is Star Wars for the holidays,
yeah,
the Star Wars holiday special needs a special mention.
Well, that is in November after all. So yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we do have to give a nod that at 8 p.m. 7 Central. You could have watched the Star Wars holiday special in
1978. Uh-huh. And in that respect, I guess, because there has been Star Wars holiday special merchandise produced officially, so I guess technically there is Thanksgiving
merchandise. I guess so, because they wanted to get that in there before the Christmas rush and before Rankin and Bass just takes over all the programming slots. So they were very shrewd in that, but
they didn't do like, you know, Tauntaun, the long tusked Tauntaun.
Oh.
instead of Nestor the long-eared donkey, they would have done like the Star Wars version of it.
And have Burl Ives as Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, I'm Fat Obi-Wan.
And Mickey Rooney as Luke Skywalker.
Oh, calm yourself down, Luke. I'm going to tell you a little tale about a Tauntaun from Hoth that helped old Santa out a long time ago.
My.
So,
but,
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I think that Christmas is kind of a just catch-all. Stockings, ornaments, decor.
One thing that is more recently part of the merchandising extravaganza, and you would think it wouldn't have taken so long for these to happen, but this is something that only spans the last maybe 5 or 6 years, are Star Wars Christmas sweaters.
Yes!
And man, there are some awesome designs out there. Awesome designs. I own two myself, and both of them are Vader-centric. But, man, I think the first time I saw a Star Wars Christmas sweater was at your Dollar Store Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
And a friend of the show, Warren Jacobson, you know, was there. I had only met him one time prior at AllCon, maybe the year before. This was only my second time actually being around him and talking to him. And I got to talking to him because I saw his Christmas sweater. And I said, oh my gosh, like, what are you wearing? I was blown away that somebody actually had a Star Wars-themed Christmas sweater, and he was telling me all about it, where he got it. And then we got to talking. He goes, yeah, we met last year at AllCon. I was like, we did? He goes, yeah, I bought some art from you when you were set up. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And
boy,
then
what a jerk.
But I know. Well, I mean, I meet so many people at these comic cons.
Oh, I know, it's, I know.
Yeah. And I was like, but I remembered once he started reminding me, I was like, wait, were you and your girlfriend dressed as zombie Velma and Shaggy?
Oh, that's right.
And he was like, yeah, that was us. So at least I did remember on my own, you know, once he said that. But anyway, so that's where our friendship really started to blossom, was because he showed up in
nice.
That Star Wars Christmas sweater.
Well, then, you know, like we were talking about at Halloween, you've got the lawn ornaments and such like that. You've got...
Yeah.
Tree ornaments, strings of lights.
Oh, those are the best. I didn't even think about the lights.
You've got,
right.
Yeah, you know, just short, shy of, like, you know, officially produced Jedi Santa costumes.
Right.
Or Santa Yoda, sit on my lap, you will.
Oh,
no.
Creepy.
Yeah, creepy it is. I think we'll go to the mall. All of a sudden, the mall Santa, drunken mall Santa looks great. And we mentioned the Lego earlier. The Lego Advent calendars.
Oh, that's right.
They've been doing those for years now.
Okay. There should be no complaints. If there's an advent calendar, then you should have no problem with a menorah candle.
That's true, because this is, like, official.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most clever is I'd love to get – there was a Chewbacca. They took their
Chewbacca
minifig. Yeah, they made him white, and they made his bandolier red and green.
I waited and waited and waited for those things to go on clearance at our Walmart, because our Walmart had them. They had them in stock. They didn't even have them in the clearance aisle. They still had them in the toy section. I thought, what are y'all thinking? And it was like months and months passed, and I kept scanning them, and they kept scanning up full price.
Yeah, it would be
and
like May Walmart, of the following year.
Yeah, it was insane that they weren't getting them. And I kept waiting and waiting, and of course, I must have timed it wrong, because one day they were all gone. I was like, okay,
man.
They probably scanned it like 29 cents, and someone took all of them. But man, it was like
Catherine bought a bunch of, like, their dartboards after Christmas. She was going to buy a handful of them at a few dollars each. And
yeah.
Then she came back in the vicinity, and they were about to hang the $1 sign on them, and she's like, grab.
Yeah. Can't pass that up.
No. Yeah, in fact, with the advent calendar, I can tell a little, oh gosh, decades ago, a friend of ours was coming over to visit around the holidays, and we set up a little Star Wars nativity.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yoda in the manger and Leia.
Yeah, not Anakin. Not Child Anakin.
Child Anakin didn't exist yet.
Oh, okay,
God.
Okay.
But,
This is pre-prequels.
We had, like, Ben and and Lando and I forget. I think it was General Madine as the wise men.
Oh, nice.
So even Lando was like standing in for the traditional Moorish wise man.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And we, oh, but, yeah. The Royal Guard is the. And then we had even had like Reese and Yak Face as manger animals.
Oh, yeah, not the Dewback. Right, but that makes sense. Did you have them on all fours, or were they just upright, just like in a little pen?
No, that would be creepy.
You know, but you know, you could do it really good now because you know in the 3¾-inch line you have the twins, Luke and Leia, as infants.
True. Yeah, but also just back in the studio itself. Emperor Palpatine was there. Render unto me that which is mine.
Nice.
I wish I thought of that way back then. It is a nice
Nice. That's, I like that.
But, you know, we've got stockings and apparel and so many amazing gift items and cookie cutters and.
Right. Well, people who've watched the live show may have caught a couple of years where I've worn my Santa hat that had the Yoda ears attached to the sides.
Oh, yeah,
the
Santa hat and candy canes. And.
Yeah. My favorite Star Wars, I have just the one Star Wars Christmas t-shirt is, you know, it's an image, a painted image of Vader, you know, playing the piano. And in the background is a fireplace and a tree. And, of course, the tree has Star Wars ornaments. The if you look closely, the stockings say Han, Luke, and Leia. And nice. The painting above the mantle is the image of Yoda and dressed as Santa carrying a bag of toys. Yeah, so and the sheet music, I don't have the shirt handy in front of me, but the sheet music that's on the piano is maybe the Imperial March or maybe the Cantina. It's something John Williams-centric.
Nice.
So, it's a pretty cool shirt.
I found some pictures of Lego Christmas minifigs.
Oh, yeah?
And some of them are just beyond brilliant. Not
these are
the
official?
Least. Yeah, the actual minifigs from Lego.
Oh, wow.
And it looks like one of them is a white R2 unit.
Oh, wow.
With a top hat. And the two little crossbar arms in the very at the upper, you know, just below the dome.
Yeah.
Are carrots on the graphic.
What?
And then there's another droid in the background. In this one image I saw where it's, you know, where the dome would be, it's like a high cone type, like a cone that flattens off the top. And the graphic on the cone is like the branches of a Christmas tree with garlands and Christmas balls on it. And then there's a little translucent star plugged into the top.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, man, I am so going to have to look into what all they've come out with that's Christmassy.
That's crazy. Oh, you know what? One thing I just was reminded of, and I did a quick search for it while you were talking. In the UK, you know, the UK had their own run of Star Wars comics.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Well, in December of '83, this particular comic, it said Return of the Jedi. So I guess at some point they changed the name of the comic from just Star Wars to Return of the Jedi to capitalize more on it. The cover image, painted image, is Vader holding a gift. It's that image where he's pointing at you. Like you always see the photo of him in the Death Star hangar bay and he's pointing at the camera. It's that pose but drawn out. And he's wearing Santa's hat and Santa's cloak and he's holding a gift. And in the background, Luke and Han are spawning so big as if they're so happy to spend time with Vader at the holidays, and they're each holding a wrapped gift in their hands.
Aww.
It is so bizarre.
And of course, to close out Christmas, you can't talk about Christmas without talking about the old Lucasfilm tradition where they would have their official Christmas cards.
Yeah.
Like the famous Macquarie Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
Carrying the gifts, or Santa 3PO and Reindeer R2. And both of those would be commemorated as action figure toys from Kenner.
Well, there was another one that McCrory did an illustration of that was also a figure, and that was the illustration he did of the different Jawas as if they're in Santa's workshop creating gifts.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And then they made that into a couple of figures where they're one's holding the little practice sphere.
That's right. Yes.
And then the other one's holding a wrapped box. So, yeah, they did both those, and they did the Yoda as well, I believe. In dress as Santa.
Yeah, they did a little figurine of that. I think I even had one at one point.
You know, one thing else before we exit out, as I know we've gone past the hour.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hour.
We just had to end this on two. We couldn't break this into a third show.
But I kicked myself for not mentioning these because I don't own any of these, but as much as we decorate for Christmas, I can't believe I don't have something like this yet. Maybe I'll rectify it this coming year. Star Wars Nutcrackers.
Oh, of course. Yes, Nutcrackers. That's...
They have come up with some of the coolest designs. I can't even be... I'm not even going to attempt to start point out specific ones, but they have come up with such cool Nutcracker designs over the past few years. It's insane. It's insane I haven't even bought any yet. But yeah, the Nutcrackers, they're pretty cool. That's a pretty cool... That's one that...
No,
why did it take them so long to make these?
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's my last entry into the holiday celebration.
Well, I think we've done everybody justice. Christmas is just so chock full. We could do two or three shows on that alone. But in the meantime, Mrs. Jedi Cole was campaigning that birthdays are holidays. I don't know. She's
Oh, okay. So we could have snuck in some more there. But we managed to touch on every single month. A couple of them were stretches, but we managed to touch on every single month somehow, some way. We did it.
Well, we did it. We made it happen. So
right.
We just have to you know, Christmas, I'm sure, is a topic we're going to tackle again. And,
you know, whereas in October, we're going to revisit the whole costume thing. Because when you did the first one on the Ben Cooper stuff, I was actually not there. I think you did.
Oh, that's
Steve,
right. Yeah.
Did you do it with Steve McCauley?
I believe we may have. Yeah.
So we should revisit that topic and then add in, like you were saying, the accessories and like the updated costumes. But we should also... It might be fun because we do our wish list every year. We should do our wish list episode as like a flashback episode, as if we're
like
giving
retro
a wish list.
Yeah,
as if we're giving our wish list, and the year is like 1983 or something, and we're looking back at all the cool Star Wars things that we could possibly give as gifts. That would make for a cool wish
that
list
would be
episode.
Neat.
Yeah, so
I
something
like
to consider.
That. So, yeah, look for that coming up in December. We'll try to be sure and remember we thought about that tonight.
You're right.
And we'll be back here in a week with even more. Right now, there's a couple of possibilities for the next two episodes that'll round out two to three, depending on how ambitious.
Yeah.
That will round out the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep those kind of under wraps right now because I'm not really sure which way we want to go. Like, there's so many that were like, oh, this would be great, but this would be great, this would be great. Like, okay, we only have so many weeks.
Right.
But naturally, we'll be able to tackle these topics later. So I don't want to promise anything because even every time we turn around, we come up with even better ideas. So we got at least two more great episodes coming up for the month of July, and we hope everybody had a great 4th and continues to have a great 4th of July. And be sure and join us on the DallasOnAir.com on the first and third Sundays of every month from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Central time on for the Rancor Pit Live. I'll be flying solo again in an upcoming episode, and still working on who my guest is going to be. And then also be sure to check out our other shows, Figments of Isle of Toys, on the same network. In fact, just check out all the cool shows on there. Our producer Zach, the Talk Lord of the Sith, is part of Justice Sack, and I think also the next issue of the comic podcast. So
yeah, there's you're right.
Vagabond Nerds. There's all kinds of great stuff going on over there.
We don't give enough shout outs to all the other shows on the network, but just today, as I was like doing some work, I was discovering one of the other shows on the network called Say Something, and it's just, you know, a guy, and he just people send him their thoughts and their ideas, and they send him like their gripes and stuff, and he just sits there and goes through them one at a time.
Oh wow!
About him. And apparently, the show's been on Dallas On Air for a while, but I had never gotten around to checking it out, and it just happened to be playing. So I was listening to it while I was working on stuff. I thought, this is a good show. This guy's funny. So yeah,
nice.
Go to Dallas On Air and check out the other shows like Say Something and all the other great shows, and you may discover something you, like me, didn't know was there before. So who knows?
Exactly. And finally, a big shout out to Jedi Jansen for making that all possible and giving us a playground for what is damned near 100 episodes of the launch.
Oh my gosh.
So we are so close.
Coming up in August.
In August, we're going to hit 100 episodes.
Crazy.
And I believe we're going to hit the 75 mark on this show as well.
There you go.
So you can tell how far we fell behind the show that started first. 25 episodes behind.
That's okay.
That's true.
But once you factor in like the still unreleased summer tour episodes, and you throw in like the little like there was that we did the G.I. Joe special a few years back, and we did, you know, Eric and I and Colleen did the Air Hog special. When you start throwing all the extra things, it's not far off from as 100 as you think it is.
That's true.
Yeah, we'd have a few specials out there that aren't part of this numbering system.
Exactly. So we'll catch you next week and on the first and third Sundays every month on the live show. And then we're going to get back to our twice-a-month schedule on this show as well and see if we can't catch up with that pesky old live show.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll be back soon with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense on the Rancor Pit.
Good night. This awesome music is provided by Ray Reezy. That's R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. You can find him on Instagram and SoundCloud. On Instagram, it's at R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. And on SoundCloud, it's soundcloud.com/R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. You can also contact him at rayreezymusic@gmail.com. Make sure you check out this guy's stuff. It's really awesome. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.